that this is an interactive show. You guys are welcome to jump on and get in the show with me. Tell me what you're thinking. Ask me your questions. I'm going to read them out loud and answer them for you. So please don't hesitate to do that. If you are not subscribed to my live notifications and you would like to be, that way you never miss a show and you know that we've gone live and you've got a direct link to click on in your text message box on your cell phone, please text the word LIVE, L-I-V-E, to 844-935-3634. That's 844-WE-LEND-FOR-YOU, W-E-L-E-N-D, and the number 4. So text the word LIVE, L-I-V-E, and you will get a text message once a week letting you know what we are talking about and that we are live and there is a link to join. So Mikey, oh, and it says it's back. Okay, they can hear us now. So again, as I mentioned, we are doing everything that we can do right now to try to get us streaming on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube so that more people can see the show when we do it. So bear with us a little bit today. It is all brand new technology that we are using. And if you can't hear me or you can't see something or something happens, please put it into the chat and let us know. That way we can try to fix it right away. So here we go. We are debunking some real estate myths. And so what are those myths? And I actually created 3 pages worth of things that I've heard and that people have said to me that are absolutely inaccurate. So we're going to talk about what those are and then what is wrong or what is it that they hear and what is reality. Again, if you have any questions, please feel free to put them into the chat, or if you've heard something and you want to know if it's true, go ahead and put that into the chat as well. So let's go ahead and get started. So looking at homes is the best first step. So a lot of people believe that the best thing that they can do is to actually start looking at homes, going out on the weekends, walking through open houses to see if they fall in love with something, or, you know, is this the neighborhood that I want to be in? And in reality, that is not your first step. If you want to buy a home, you need to know first, what can you afford? You need to put those finances ahead of being out and looking at homes. You could walk into an open house and absolutely fall in love with that home, fall in love with that neighborhood and say, this is where I wanna be. And then you find out that you just can't afford it. You can't get the loan to purchase it, or the monthly payment is too high. So we do want to make sure that you are actually shopping for that pre-approval first. That is your first step. Get pre-approved, call a lender, call Mortgage Mom Radio, and let's get you all of your numbers done, your affordability done. What is that price range that you can afford? And then get out there and start looking. So I get question. I've noticed during my search for homes in Parker, Havasu, and Bullhead that 99% of waterfront properties are leased land. Are properties like that mortgageable? So it depends on the property. Just because it is on leased land does not mean that you cannot get a mortgage on it. What determines whether or not we can do financing is, you know, is it a mobile home? Is it what year of a mobile home is that? Are you in a park or are you, you know, actual real property? But leased land, I've seen condominiums actually in Newport Beach that are on leased lands. There's many properties and homes like where my dad lives in Illinois where there is leased land and it's a true home on leased land. That does not stop the financing. We can do leased land financing. However, it depends on how many years are remaining on that land lease. So if there are only 20 years remaining, we can actually only finance for 15 years. So we can only finance up to 5 years short or 5 years sooner than when that lease would be gone or would be, you know, expired. So you do want to make sure that you are asking the question, if you are looking at properties on leased land, how many years of a lease are remaining. The rest of it is going to come down to property and whether or not the property itself is lendable. And that is something that we can definitely talk about. If you find one that you like, we'll see, you know, what kind of property that it is and, you know, is it something that is doable? But yes, it can be done. That is for sure. So I love the question. And that actually came from my dad. I'm trying so hard to get him to move to the West Coast. So I love the fact that he's actually looking at properties online. So thank you, Dad. Good job. All right. So number two, you know, you don't need an agent to buy a home. That is a myth. Okay. So why is that a myth? It's actually not a myth. And it is. So number one is you can buy a home by yourself. You can sell a home by yourself. And a real estate agent is absolutely not required. It is not a requirement, but I absolutely do suggest it. You are going to do so much better with having somebody behind you, helping you, who's familiar with the contracts, understands what you're signing, knows, you know, what all of the inspection periods are that you have, what inspections can you do, who should be paying for what when you write up that contract. So you absolutely do not need an agent to buy a home, but you absolutely should get an agent to buy a home. So that would be myth number two that I wanted to throw out at you guys. Is it a requirement? It is absolutely not. And a lot of people do believe that you do have to have a real estate agent to buy. You do not have to, but I would not recommend doing that. Number three, buying a new home means few repairs in years to come. So a lot of people are jumping into homeownership and they're thinking, I'm going to take on a lot more responsibility now. I'm going to be responsible for all of my repairs for, you know, if pipes were to break, if my appliances go down, my landscaping, repainting the house, if there's a roof leak, right? You absolutely have a lot more that you are responsible for as a homeowner than what you would have if you were a renter or tenant. So many people believe that if they go and they buy new construction, that they are kind of getting away from the necessity of that, those repairs or things that are coming that need, you know, kind of unexpected things that are going to happen to them. So they feel like they're being safeguarded if they buy in new construction. Now, many new homes are built to great standards. There's a lot of very good builders out there that do a very good job. But one thing to realize is that many of these builders are going very, very fast. They're putting up homes as quickly as they can, obviously, to turn it around. That's how they make profit. And many times there can be things that don't maybe get done right. So it does not necessarily mean that you are not going to be in a position where things do come up, repairs are required, and things do need to get fixed. So please don't think that by buying a brand new home, new construction, that you are somehow escaping that. Anything could go wrong. I've actually had a brand new washer and dryer delivered, and when they put it in, the dryer didn't work. And how many of us have had that happen with appliances before? So it could be the same thing with your water heater, or a pipe could break, or something could happen that you still end up needing to do those repairs. So that would be, I think we're on myth number three. All right. So myth number four, and then we're going to take a break. But I do want to remind everybody that if you have questions, put them into the feed. I will read them out loud and answer them for you. This is an interactive show. I want you to be part of it, and I want you to give me your feedback. So myth number four, you'll need a 20% down payment plus closing costs if you want to buy a home. And if you have all been watching me over the years doing this show now, I think I've been actually doing the show since 2016, you'll know that that's absolutely not accurate. And there are many, many people that have that misconception that that 20% down payment is a requirement. So it is not a requirement. You are not required to put down 20% on a home to get a loan. There are many, many loan programs that are available with less than 20% down. There's zero down for USDA or zero down for a veteran with VA financing. And there's even down payment assistance when you can't come up with those lower down payments of 3 or 3.5%. So that is absolutely a myth. You do not need 20% down to purchase a home. So if that is what you thought, or that's what your neighbors told you, or your parents told you, and that's what you've been saving up for, I would highly recommend that you get on the phone and you give us a call. Let's see what kind of financing that we could get you into and help you get pre-approved for, rather than waiting any longer while the market continues to go up and home values continue to go up. We don't want you to miss out on any appreciation if you are already ready and you've got enough to get the transaction done. So with that, we're going to take a super fast break. Literally, I think it's a 40-seconder, and we'll be right back. This is Debbie Marcoux, the Mortgage Mom. Are you thinking about buying, refinancing, selling? Are you relocating to another state? Well, we are here to help you at Mortgage Mom Radio. Give us a call, go to our website, or send us a text message. The phone number is 844-935-3634. That's 844-WE-LEND-FOR-YOU. WELEND and the number 4. Or head on over to that website at mortgagemomradio.com. Okay, so welcome back to Mortgage Mom Radio. I'm Debbie Marcoux. I am the Mortgage Mom. And again, today is all about us testing and trying to get ourselves on Instagram. So bear with us if there are any delays or issues with any of the technology or the sound. I do want to apologize for that in advance. Mikey's going to mess around a little bit. He's running the show today. He is my brainchild behind all of the equipment. So he is going to mess around a little bit with trying to get us up live on Instagram while we do the show. So please, please bear with me if there is something that goes wrong. All right, so we were on myths. We were talking about debunking real estate myths. And so I want you guys to put any questions you have in the feed. If you've heard something that you're not quite sure it's true, or you're wondering if it was true, or it's what you believe, ask it. Ask me right now. I'd be happy to tell you what the answer is. So here we go. We are on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We are on myth number 5. A down payment is the only upfront cost. Closing costs, appraisal, inspections, termite, HOA documents. So I made myself some notes to make sure that we don't miss out on all of those pieces. So your down payment is not your only out-of-pocket expense when you do purchase a home. And that is even if we're talking about a zero down loan. So let's even say that you're a veteran and you have your 0% down payment available. Your down payment, again, you have no down payment for a veteran, right? But that is not the only expense. So you do have other expenses that do come up and have to be paid out of pocket in advance of even closing a loan. And a lot of people are not aware of that. So there are closing costs, which I think a lot of people have heard. And I've had a lot of clients call me where I'm trying to save a deal because they got into escrow and they knew they needed 3% or 3.5% or 10% or whatever that number was down payment, but they didn't know anything about closing costs. So number one, closing costs, those are there. And if you don't know what they are, make sure you call your lender and you talk to them about closing costs and how much that you should expect to have to pay. But let's put closing costs even to the side as well, because closing costs can be negotiated. You can get the seller to pay those items, right? So let's talk about things that are outside of down payment and closing costs that you are going to have to pay before your transaction closes. So number one is your appraisal. You do have to get an appraisal done. The bank is going to require it if you are getting financing to do the loan. And so you do have to pay for that appraisal out of pocket in advance, because that report needs to be delivered to the lender before the loan can close. So that appraiser's done the work, they're delivering the report, and they expect payment. So you will be paying for that out of pocket up front. Number two, you are going to want to get a physical inspection. So if you are purchasing the home, your real estate agent is going to say, okay, it's time for us to order your physical inspection. And you're going to want to hire a physical inspector or a contractor, a company that is familiar with doing inspections for real estate transactions, to go into the property and make sure that everything is working status quo, that there aren't any issues, there's no repairs that need to be done. If there are repairs that are required, it gives you the opportunity to ask the seller to fix those items. And so the physical inspector has nothing at all to do with the transaction other than you wanted somebody to go in there and you did your due diligence to make sure that the property was in good shape. So you are going to pay that physical inspector their money for their time, their inspection, and the report that you need. So on top of those things, then you also have termite. So sometimes the seller pays termite, sometimes the buyer pays termite, but it is an inspection that somebody comes into the home and makes sure that the home does not have any termites. And if there are termites, then you know that you need to, again, go back to a seller and, you know, see if you can negotiate to get some repair work done. So a termite inspection very well could be on you, the buyer, if you want to get one. I highly recommend that you do. It is very important to know if your property has termites and you don't want to be purchasing something that does. You want to buy, you want to walk into the home knowing that it is termite free, and it is now your job as the new owner to maintain the home to make sure that those termites don't return. But many times it is actually on the buyer to choose which inspections that they feel are important. There's mold inspections, there's all kinds, there's plumbing inspections, there's all kinds of more detailed inspections that can be ordered and completed, and that is typically on the buyer to pay for, and that is out of pocket in advance of closing the transaction and outside of what those actual closing costs for that transaction are. Another thing that you will pay for upfront is if you are buying a home in an association. The association, the lender is going to need to get documents from that association in order to do the loan. They need to check on reserves and budgets and rules and such, insurance, to make sure that everything is covered. This is especially important for a condominium or a townhome, something that is attached to another property. So that will typically have a cost associated upfront, because the association is going to charge to get copies of that paperwork, but the lender needs that paperwork in order to approve your loan. So that is something that you are going to shell out the money in advance to get those documents ordered. So again, debunking the myth, a down payment is the only upfront cost. No, you're going to have your closing costs, which again, that's something for you to talk with your lender about, or call Mortgage Mom Radio. We'll go through it with you. You are going to have your appraisal. You are going to have your physical inspection. You are probably going to have a termite for sure. And you may have other inspections that you choose to do as well. So we are going to get into myth number 6 here in a second, but we're going to take a super quick break and we'll be right back. This is Debbie Marcoux, the Mortgage Mom. Are you thinking about buying, refinancing, selling? Are you relocating to another state? Well, we are here to help you at Mortgage Mom Radio. Give us a call, go to our website, or send us a text message. The phone number is 844-935-3634. That's 844. We lend for you. WELEND and the number 4. Or head on over to that website at mortgagemomradio.com. Okay, so welcome back to Mortgage Mom Radio. I'm Debbie Marcoux. I am the Mortgage Mom, and I'm bringing you guys all of the, I am debunking myths today about real estate, right? And so right now we're talking purchase transactions. I am going to jump into selling your home because I feel like I've got people that listen to me that are both looking to purchase a brand new home, but also I've got people that own homes that would like to sell a home. And so I want to make sure that I do hit on some of those topics as well. I might have maybe had a couple too many myths to get into one 30-minute show. So I am going to do my best. I'm going to hit one more purchase, and then we're going to jump into some myths about selling. And if we have time, we'll jump back to any that I might have missed. So the next one is getting pre-approved will hurt your credit. So the myth, getting pre-approved will hurt your credit. So this is actually not correct. This is wrong. Your mortgage lender can pull your credit report one time, and that could be for your pre-approval and to close the loan. So a lot of people don't realize that the credit report is good for 120 days. So it is good for just about 4 months, depending on what month span that you are in and how many days are in each month. But it is good for 120 days. We do not have to re-pull a credit report again to close your loan if your pre-approval and your home loan closes within that 120-day period. So hurting your credit would be one inquiry on your credit report. That's not really going to move your credit score. It's when you start getting into multiple kinds of credit inquiries. That's another thing that many people get very, they're confused about. And again, they don't, it's a misunderstanding, is that if you shop and you talk with one mortgage company and they give you a pre-approval, but you don't like what you hear, you feel like there's another loan program that they didn't offer to you that you could get a better deal somewhere else, and you decide to go to another lender and start the process all over again. Your credit report cannot be shared amongst other lenders. So you can't go to the bank and have them pull your credit report and then send me a copy of that credit report and I utilize that credit report. Every single lender has to pull their own credit report for the company that they work for. However, if you are doing a mortgage loan and a mortgage lender pulls your credit report, you have 30 days. The credit bureau gives you 30 days to shop for your financing. So that means that you could go to other lenders and have your credit report pulled again. You will see those credit inquiries on your credit report. So it will show up as who has pulled your credit, but you will not get dinged for an additional inquiry and an additional inquiry. That will not happen. What really drops those credit scores when you start having your credit report pulled is when you apply for a credit card and then apply for another credit card and then apply for another credit card, because that is very well known that you could be opening credit cards at all these different places. For a mortgage, you are opening one mortgage loan with one lender, but you are shopping to make sure you're getting the best financing. So getting your credit report pulled for your pre-approval is not going to hurt your credit score. You just want to make sure that you are getting your credit report pulled if you are going to shop lenders, at least within that 30-day range. So if you start a pre-approval one place and want to shop with another lender somewhere else, make sure that you get to them and have them pull the credit report within that 30-day period. And again, if you do close on a new home within that 120 days, then there is no more credit report being pulled. So that is absolutely a myth, and I just debunked it. Again, I want to remind everybody that if you have questions or you've heard something and you want to know it's true, put it into the feed. This is interactive. You are more than welcome to ask me your questions. I also want to remind everybody that is listening by radio on Saturday, if you want to be part of the show, you want to see me do it live, you need to get the link to join. And in order to get the link to join, you need to text LIVE, L-I-V-E, to 844-935-3634. That's 844. We lend for you. W-E-L-E-N-D. And the number 4, text the word LIVE. It is the same phone number that you call me at. If you guys want help with your loan, you call me at that number. All right, so let's get into, this is one more that is actually a purchase, but I think that sellers want to hear this too. And then we'll jump into the sellers, because we've got like 6 minutes left for radio. But for all you YouTubers that are watching me right now, don't worry at all. I'm not going anywhere. We're going to get through all of this today. So here we go. Myth, schools don't matter if you don't have kids. So when you're trying to decide where you are looking to buy and you're thinking, well, I don't have any kids, so as long as I like the house and I like the neighborhood, it doesn't really matter. Schools are very important to many buyers. A lot of people that are buying have children or are planning to have children. And it is actually really close to the top of lists when people are deciding where they're going to move to, is the school system and how the school system is and which school is it. So it is, if you are a buyer, whether or not you have kids or choosing never to have kids in your life, it is very important to know what the school district is and where you're purchasing. It's really good as far as trying to determine if it's a good investment when you make that purchase. So I did want to bring that one up. That was a really good one. And I do see that Michelle has a question. She says, what legal recourse do we have if the seller did not disclose all the defects on the property? I bought the house in December with no rain, but my backyard is flooded each time it rains after I moved in. So Michelle, that would actually be really good for you to go back to your real estate agent about. So although I am I used to be a real estate agent. I was licensed and I used to sell homes. I do not sell homes now. I have the knowledge, but I am not licensed to actually provide you with guidance. So you want to go back to the real estate agent that helped you write that contract. In that contract, he or she will be able to show you whether or not you agreed or did not agree to arbitration. So you may be going down a path of taking the seller to arbitration. But that is really your real estate agent's piece of the puzzle, is that they are the ones to take you through the contract and get you to understand what your legal, what your legal recourse would be as far as your question is concerned in a situation like that. So my job is to get you the money to buy the home. The real estate agent's job is to protect you, write the contract, and make sure that you understand obligations on your part and the seller's. And that is why at the beginning of this show, I said, you can buy a house without a real estate agent. Yes, you can sell a house without a real estate agent. Yes, but I don't recommend it. I absolutely always recommend that you have somebody that is there on your side. So definitely, if that happened to you, pick up the phone, call your real estate agent and find out what they have to say. If you're not getting answers from them, realtors do work for a broker. They have to hang their license with a broker. So go over and beyond and ring up the broker of the agency. And if the person that you are working with is your realtor and they are the broker, so they happen to be the broker owner of the real estate company, then you might want to reach out to the Department of Real Estate. So I do want to make sure I'm giving you guidance, but I can't really give you exact what you should do because I am not a licensed real estate agent. So she does ask, is there a time limit? And so again, I don't know. I would not want to answer that question and tell you that there's a time limit that you can take somebody to arbitration within. If Heather's actually on with us right now and she's watching, she could jump into the chat and she could probably answer that question for you. She is a licensed real estate agent. So she could tell you if you've got a time frame that you would need to file or submit paperwork within. But I'm not going to answer that question because I honestly do not know. I don't do that side of the transaction anymore. I don't sell homes anymore. And I haven't had a real estate license in about 23 years. So again, I've been in this industry for 30 years. I started by selling real estate at the beginning of my career. And I am now have been in mortgage since 2001. So I've got quite a bit of time under my belt in general. And I've got really great general knowledge as far as real estate goes. And I've got exceptional knowledge as far as mortgage goes, but I don't want to answer a question wrong. Great question though. I do love it. And Heather might be able to pop in. And if not, you're welcome to call the office and you can ask for her and she can give you some general information being a real estate agent, but she wasn't yours and had nothing to do with your contract. So she can give you some general guidance and to follow. So great question though. Thank you so, so much. For Go Country guys, this is it for you. You guys are listening on Saturday. You're not watching me do it live on YouTube. So you are going to miss out. If you want to see the rest of the show, I am going to be talking about you must sell your current home before you buy a new one. Your pre-approval amount will only be for the loan amount you're approved for. Set the list price above comparables to build in bargaining room. Setting a low price means you'll make less money. Negotiate the realtor's commission to net more profit. So these are some of the seller myths that we're going to get into. You're going to miss it, but you could jump over to my YouTube channel and watch my most recent live that was from this Wednesday. And maybe next time, next week, Wednesday at 1, you'll jump on with me and you'll be part of the show. How do you do that? Well, you text the word live to 844-935-3634. That's 844, we lend for you. WELEND and the number 4. Text the word LIVE, LIVE. No quotes, no exclamation points, no please, opt me in, just LIVE. I hope you guys all have a fabulous rest of your week. Okay, so Go Country's 30 minutes is done. We're going to keep going because I think these are some really cool topics that I do want to hit on. And if you have any questions, please put them into the feed. I'm watching the chat. I can see that Heather is jumping in right now and she's given some information for everybody. But here we go. I wanted to jump in on this one. Let's see. You must sell your current home before buying a new one. So that is absolutely not true in any way. So whether you need to sell the home because you need the money out of the home in order to buy another one, you don't necessarily have to sell that house. We are doing loans for clients all of the time that want to go buy another home. They don't want to worry about selling their house until they've closed on another. They want to move out. They want to move in. They want to clean up the house and then they want to market it for sale. There is a way to do that. We've got loan programs where we don't have to hit you for the mortgage payment on the departing residence, and we can help get you some of the cash out of the house to get you into the new loan first. If you want to hold on to that property and make it a rental, we can look at a lease agreement. So you are going to market the property for rent and you are going to find somebody to rent the property. You're going to sign a contract and get us a deposit check. But as long as you do that, we can actually give you that rental income on that departing unit to help you towards your qualifying ratios. So that is assuming, of course, that you have at least saved up a little bit of money to be able to put down payment onto the next property. But it is absolutely a myth. As you can hear, I've already rambled off two different scenarios where you don't have to sell first. And there's definitely a lot of options and opportunity there. So don't believe that. That is absolutely a myth that you must sell your current home before buying a new one. Next one. Your pre-approval amount will be for the loan amount you're approved for. So that is not correct either. I have a lot of clients that come to me and I give them a number that they're qualified for. And they'll say, okay, well, I guess I just need to save more money and have a bigger down payment. Because if I qualify for 500 and I have an extra $50,000, now I can qualify for 550. That's not necessarily accurate. The higher the sales price, the higher the homeowner's insurance cost, the higher the mortgage insurance cost, the higher that the property taxes cost. So it is not necessarily dollar for dollar. What is important is that you reach out to your loan officer and you let them know, I don't like the number that you gave me. What are some other ways that I can go about getting a higher dollar amount? I'm thinking maybe I might put down an extra $50,000. Okay, that's fabulous if you have that available. So now we're talking about $50,000 and now your lender's going to start moving and manipulating the numbers to try to determine and figure out what is the best way for you to move forward. Maybe that extra $50,000 puts you into a conventional loan where there is no mortgage insurance. Boom, that helps a lot. Maybe that extra $50,000 could help you buy out mortgage insurance. So you get rid of that mortgage insurance completely. Again, that could help a lot. Maybe that $50,000 could help buy the interest rate down to a lower interest rate to help you to qualify for more. Let the loan officer know what you're trying to achieve. Gosh, Debbie, I love that you told me I'm qualified for 500, but in order to find a home in the neighborhood I'm looking at, I can't find anything for less than 600. Okay, so then let's start talking about what we can do. Do you have any extra additional cash you could come up with? Well, yeah, you know, I do have an extra $50,000. Okay, fabulous. So let me start manipulating numbers within your application to see how I can best get you to 600. Hey, you know, you've got a car loan and you only owe about $20,000 on it. How about we pay that $500 payment off so that now your debt ratios are lower and you qualify for more and you don't have a car payment anymore. So there's lots of things that we can do to try to get you to another level, but it is not, the myth is not that you are pre-approved for the amount that will be the loan amount. It doesn't matter. The pre-approval that we put together is a purchase price and a loan amount. And if you want to change things around, call your lender. That is the most important thing you can do. Okay, next one is set the list price. So this is for sellers again. Set the list price above comparables to built-in bargaining room. So one thing that I have seen a lot of times, and so I don't suggest that you do this. This is a myth. Don't do it. I have seen people price their homes too high. So then they sit on the market and they sit on the market and they sit on the market and they're not driving any buyer engagement. Nobody's getting excited over their home because they are overpriced for the market. And so the house sits and the house sits. And then they go back to their real estate agent. Okay. Let's drop the price. We're gonna have to lower the price to get some people through here. Well, sometimes if you wait too long to do that first price drop, when you don't see things happening, you're buyers in the market are looking at homes that are listed for sale. And when they see that a home has been sitting on the market for a long period of time with no movement, they automatically assume that there is something wrong with that property. Why hasn't it sold yet? Why don't other buyers want it? And that will sometimes just absolutely kill you completely in the market. So the last thing that you want to do is to overprice your home to try to leave room for bargaining and negotiating. Set your home where it should sell. Set your home at the number that you are willing to accept. Make sure that your real estate agent knows that number that you need to net out of that property. I need to walk away with X. Price it there. Price it if it is right for the market. That is where the homes in the neighborhood should be selling for. Get people through the home. That is the most important thing that you can do. Don't let your home sit on the market because you could actually be hurting yourself. Even though in your head you're going, hey, I'm leaving room to help negotiate for this buyer. You're actually just putting buyers out that aren't coming through. So that is, don't do it. Just don't do it. We don't like that. All right. Next myth for a seller, which I love. And I can see that Heather's given all kinds of information in the chat. And I love that you did that, Heather. Thank you so much. And you know, hopefully Michelle, that helps you too, but please call your real estate agent. I do think that's really important for you to do. Okay. So the next myth, setting a low price means you'll make less money. So that is an absolute myth as well. So a lot of clients are really nervous. Their agent, their negotiating strategy is, hey, let's start it off at a lower price than the last one sold for. What we want to do is we want to spark a bunch of interest. We want to get a whole bunch of people to go, oh my gosh, that is a great deal. We want to go see that property today. And what they want is they want multiple offers. And as soon as you start getting multiple offers and you've got one offer and two offer and three offers and four offers, now you actually have bidding wars. And believe it or not, you might end up at a price that is higher than that guy that decided to list it too high to leave room for bargaining or negotiating power, you know, basically give themselves some room to be able to give the buyer a little bit back and make them feel like they're being reasonable. In the situation where you actually price it a little bit low for the market, you might end up with all of the overbidding to be right where that guy would have started. So don't necessarily rule that out. Don't believe that that is a bad option. What depends is your market, where your house is located, what is going on with it. You know, what is the price range that your home is in? Obviously a price range that is, the most common or popular price range for a neighborhood. So depending on where you live, if the average home sale is $500,000 and that's about where your home should be listed for sale, you're in that price range where there's going to be a lot of people that are coming through that are looking for a home because that is the common denominator number, you know, for your neighborhood. If you are in, you know, $2-4 million property, your strategy is going to be completely different. But when you are in, you know, that price range and that strategy might not be different if the area that your home is located in, that is a normal price range for your area. So depending on where the home is located and what your price range is, that could be a very, very good way to market the home and get a lot of people through and a lot of offers on the table driving that price up. So I thought that was a good myth that I didn't want to leave out. And here is the last, oh my gosh, we have so many good ones. So the next one would be negotiate the realtor's commission to net more profit. And that is a myth. So that would make sense, right? I mean, to the normal person, you think, well, if I have to pay the realtor less fees, I'm going to net more money. But that's not necessarily correct because, you know, those real estate agents do need to get paid to do their job. And if you have a buyer and you're searching the MLS for the properties that you want to go show that buyer and you come across one that's got a really, really low commission on it, chances are that you might just completely ignore that house and not show it to a person. Or you're going to maybe have that one as a lot worst case scenario. Like if they didn't like anything else on day one of showing properties, then they're not going to take the clients back to that one until day two. So very good chance that by negotiating for lower real estate commissions and not offering full price real estate commissions could very well keep many suitable buyers for your home out of your property and not looking at it. So you could actually be hurting yourself by not offering the standard, typical, normal commission for the area where you're selling. And it is different. It's different in every part of the country, nation, city, state, county. You know, what seems to be an average real estate commission percentage is completely different based on where you're located. So you want to just be looking at what's common for my area and offer it up. Just offer it up. Get as many people in there as you can and, you know, get the best offer and price that you can. So this is one more for a seller that I thought was really good. And then we're going to talk about the last one. It's going to be for both a buyer and a seller. So I do want to hit that one as well. That's very important. And then we'll call it a day on the show. Myth, professionally staging a home is necessary for a quick sale. So a lot of real estate agents do like to stage properties. And let me tell you, staged properties are really pretty. They look great. Some buyers have a really hard time walking into a vacant property, an empty property, and being able to see where things can go. You know, kind of imagine my table here and my couch there. And sometimes it does make it very difficult when it's vacant and empty. And so I can see why real estate agents would possibly want to stage a property depending on the property itself. However, it really isn't necessary. It really isn't going to change what the offer that you're going to receive on the property is. It really isn't. And it's going to cost you money to stage it. So if the property's vacant, absolutely think about it. If you're living in the property and you have your own furniture, declutter, clean things up, make your home look as nice as you possibly can. So, you know, don't leave blankets all over the place, fold them up, hang them nicely over the couch, take everything off the countertop in the kitchen that you possibly can. Don't leave things out that don't need to be there. I know you love your knickknacks. I know you like your salt and pepper shakers out. Put it all away, clean it up, make it as clean and presentable as possible. You want the countertops to be clean and open and not cluttered, and you want everything picked up, and you want everything vacuumed, and you want everything put away, and you will be okay without staging the property. So I did want to bring that one up because that is one that a lot of people hear. Well, we need to stage your home. No, probably don't. Okay, last one that I'm gonna talk about today. Again, I said this was for buyers and sellers, so I do wanna jump into this. The highest price is always the best offer. So this is absolutely not true. If you are in a situation like I was just talking about where there are multiple offers on the table and you are the seller and you get to decide which offer do I want to accept, taking the very highest offer is not necessarily the very best decision. So there can be many things at play with that highest offer. Sometimes that highest offer doesn't have the best or strongest buyer. So maybe their down payment is smaller, they're pushing the envelope as far as qualifying, their lender has not pre-approved them, they're only giving you a pre-qualification. You've asked to see the proof of assets for closing. So show me your bank account, show me that you've got the money that's needed to close. Maybe they can't provide that. So having that highest offer doesn't necessarily mean that it's your strongest buyer and that the deal is going to close. As a seller, the most important thing to you is if you agree to somebody buying your house and you sign the contract, you want your house to close. You're selling it because you're wanting your money out of your property for whatever that might be. You could be selling an investment property and you're just done. You don't want to be a landlord anymore and you want your cash out of the property. You could be selling it because you do want to go buy another home and you're going to go sign a contract to purchase somebody else's house. And if your buyer's financing falls through, well, your financing might fall through or everybody gets delayed. So you definitely want to make sure that you're looking at the strongest offer. What's the down payment amount? What's the borrower's credit score? What's their debt ratio? Do they have the assets to close? Okay, so number two with the highest offer is you could have a great, great offer. You could have somebody that's got fantastic financing, or hey, they're paying cash. You don't have to worry about them getting a loan. Okay, fantastic. However, when they give you that highest offer, are they going to start negotiating with you to get things throughout the transaction? So, hey, I paid you full price for, I went over full price for your house. I was the one that offered you the most. So I'm going to back out and I'm not going to buy this property unless you give me a credit for all these repairs that I'm asking for. So sometimes that all cash buyer, or sometimes that's really strong, you know, high offer is not always the best offer. So the most important thing that you can do is to understand who's giving you these offers. Talk with your real estate agent. Like I said, you want to make sure that you have a real estate agent in your corner helping you sell your home. Make sure that your real estate agent has done their due diligence for you on your behalf. They have called the loan officers that have submitted pre-approval letters for each of these contracts. They've talked to the other real estate agent about the clients. Why are they buying it? Oh, mom and dad live on the same street. Okay, that buyer's not wanting to go anywhere else. They're going to do anything that they can possibly do to close that deal because they obviously want to be on the same street as mom and dad, right? So make sure your agents talk to the other agent. Make sure the agent has talked to the other lender. Select the contract that is a good contract, that is a fair price to you, and that you feel the most confident in that it will close. And that goes for you too, buyer. So that's why I said this is a buyer and a seller myth, because buyer, just because you offer the highest price doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be your contract that they accept. And so you can be really upset when you gave the best offer and somebody denied your contract and took somebody else's that maybe was a bit lower. So understand why and make sure that you are prepared. Make sure your agent is prepared. Make sure that your lender is prepared. Make sure you are completely pre-approved. Make sure that you have your money saved. You've got a bank statement that you can provide to show that you've got the assets available to close. So this was really a two-parter for both buyers and sellers. I don't see any more questions going on in the feed, so we are going to stop the show at that today. I want to remind everybody that at 5 p.m. Pacific time, I am doing a home buyer workshop right here on YouTube, and I'm going to be taking you from the beginning of the transaction to the end of the transaction and everything in between, everything that you need to know about purchasing a home. This is especially good for somebody who is a first-time buyer, but also great if you haven't bought a home in 4 or 5 years or longer. This is actually a fantastic refresher course for you as well. So if you would like to get the link to join that live, we do want you to text RSVP to 844-935-3634. That's 844. We lend for you. WELEND and the number 4. We'll see you guys all next Wednesday right here, 1 p.m. on